Welcome, everyone, to another session of Reflections from the Heart. My name is David Abel. Welcome, Cameron Norris.
Thank you so much. It's an honor.
Awesome, awesome. Everybody would take a moment and get their Bibles. We're going to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. But before we break open the bread of life to see where to see and hear where to hear, let me invite the Holy Spirit in. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, into our hearts and enkindle our hearts the fire of your love. Set our hearts ablaze with your love that we may walk this earth in fleshing the word of God and being those vessels of your mercy, your compassion, your forgiveness, that we may be lights in the world that lead to you. Help us, Holy Spirit, to break open these scriptures that we may see where to see, to hear where to hear, and then put those words into action. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the
Holy Spirit.
Amen. And Cameron, do you mind giving us a little gospel love today?
I would love to. We are in the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. As you were reading this, I kept thinking of the beloved disciple.
Yeah.
We always say it's John, but it's funny because you know what? God has a sense of humor. And so did John.
That's right.
He points out the fact that they ran.
Yeah.
And then he makes it a point to say he ran faster twice.
Yeah.
So for me, we got to remember God created us to be his precious sons and daughters. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to play and have fun.
Yeah.
So just listening to John here today, it's like, you know what? God has a sense of humor.
And I was thinking the same thing as I was reading that. A couple of times in here, he's calling out, he got there faster than his friend. But I think that part of that is John refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved. And I think when we have that revelation that Jesus loves us, God the Father loves us, it's like you can't run fast enough to meet with him. I think of it this way. Like, we have kids. My kids know that I love them. They run into my arms. Like, I just came home from a trip, and as soon as I got to the driveway, it was like, boom, let's run, because Dad loves you. And I see that the same way. John had this revelation that Jesus loved him, and you're not going to beat me in a race. I'm getting there.
Beautiful. And I also can't miss the fact that it was the women, Mary of Magdala,
yeah,
and the women that went to the tomb first.
Yep.
But we have to watch how this plays out. So the women, it was revealed to them first. So we need to make sure we're always open to hear the Holy Spirit work through our spouses, our wives, through other women that God brings into our lives. Because again, women are built to be receptors. You know, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, it was Mary who was open to receive, to conceive Jesus in her heart first and then in her womb. So for me, it's about the women. But then watch, let's watch the primacy. So Mary Magdalene, what do? She didn't go in. She didn't try and figure it out. So what she did is she assumed that they took his body. And we do that all the time.
Sure.
We're like, we see something.
Sure.
We don't take it to prayer. We just assume this or we assume that, and we concoct our own story, our own theories, stop.
And then start telling people.
Yeah, start telling people, oh my, don't do that. But what did she do? She went to the church. She went to Peter and the beloved disciple because she knew that the answer was to go to Peter and the other disciple. And then watch what happens. Peter and the other disciple, they run. And the one, the beloved, gets there ahead of Peter. He lets us know a couple times there, call him John. And then Peter gets there. But watch again, the primacy of Peter. John doesn't go into to look at it. John doesn't come up with a scenario. He waits for who? Peter. Who does Peter represent to us? The Pope. So this absolutely shows the hierarchy of how Mary Magdalene gets this revelation, takes it to the church represented by Peter and the beloved disciple John, but represented by Peter. And then John and Peter, they run off to check it out. And then John, with respect to the primacy of Peter, who God, through Jesus Christ, chose to give the keys to the kingdom, and there waited till Peter went in and went into the tomb. We need to understand there is a primacy of how this all works and how in the world any one human being can sit in the chair of Peter in Rome and be responsible for 1.2 plus billion Catholics around the world, all the bishops, all the priests, is impossible without the gift of the Holy Spirit. So for me, we need to make sure we always stay in lockstep with Holy Mother Church and the leadership that she has, and just absolutely be in that and not assume on our own or check something out. Like, you know, there's been things that said, oh, the Pope said, no, check it out. Go to the Vatican website, read what he said, and it's absolutely biblical what he said. Marriage between one man and one woman, it's a sacrament. Absolutely, that's it, and a discussion. So for me, this speaks again of Peter's primacy and Mary of Magdala and John's, you know, honoring that.
Yeah, that's precious. And the last verse we read here says, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. I think it's not just okay. I think it's good for us to be able to open the scripture, read it, ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on it, and also know that it's okay if you haven't drilled all the way down and unpacked every single verse and every single chapter, and just have your heart open and receptive to say, okay, Lord, there's more in here for me. Help reveal that to me.
Yes.
And he reveals those things. It's a gift for him to open up that revelation knowledge to us, or to be able to reflect on the scripture. But don't be intimidated or don't be hesitant to dive into it because you don't have a full understanding of everything about every piece of it. It's okay to not. I hope that I'm never in a mindset that I got it all figured out, that I know everything. That's never a goal. I mean, that's just not how it is, but it also shouldn't keep us from being on that journey. Like, stay on that journey, stay in the word, stay in prayer, stay in the scriptures. Even here it's saying they did not yet understand the scripture. And these are the people that stood side by side, shoulder to shoulder with Jesus, and he said, in 3 days, 1, 2, 3, this is what has to happen. This is how it happens. And it says, they still didn't understand that he had to rise from the dead.
Yeah, and scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit will bring to us full truth. So, Holy Mother Church, thank you that the gift of Holy Mother Church founded on Peter. Man, if you have any question, first thing I do is I go and I say, okay, what does the church teach in the Catechism of the Catholic Church? Not what does my priest think? I'm like a Berean. I want to go, what does the church teach? And then the church is so beautiful how the Catholic Church then in the Catechism goes and takes us to the Bible verse that ties in and helps break open the teaching of the church, because Holy Mother Church continues her journey of learning through the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, and some of her dogmas didn't happen until, you know, the 19th century, you know, of dogmas that are things you cannot change in our beliefs. It's beautiful how God keeps revealing to Holy Mother Church the fullness of the truth. So we believe that the church is entrusted, Holy Mother Church is entrusted with the full deposit of faith, but we haven't broken it all open yet. So we continue to grow and to learn and to go into deeper waters. So I love it. I love it.
And I think one of the important things to do is to keep that open for the Holy Spirit to do that work. Understanding the Holy Spirit uses us, he uses people, he uses situations, but it's important for us to ask, what is my role, and not to take on the role that the Holy Spirit is supposed to be doing. He wants to work in that heart in a certain way, and when we get in the way, it like makes his job more difficult, like because he's revealed something to us, yep. And somebody starts a conversation, it's like, okay, I know what to do because the Holy Spirit talked to me about this. It's like, hold on a second. The Holy Spirit's the one that did that with you. He wants to do that with them. Don't try to put his shoes on.
Yep. And it's beautiful. And I think you share it, Cameron. You know, if we're confronted with a question or we have a question, stop, drop, pray, ask the Holy Spirit. I'll give you a perfect example. So we went out with a couple, and the woman, the wife of the man, my friend, she has a little bit of an angst about Catholics, and so she knows I'm a devout Catholic, and she says, she said, David, I don't understand why you have to go to a building to meet Christ. Christ is in my heart. I can talk to him all the time. I can pray with him all the time. Why do you just go to a building every day? That doesn't make any sense.
Which is a good question.
I never had it asked that way.
Right.
And so I'm like, well, I can give you all the theological answers and blah, 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 blah. And I started down that road, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, stop, stop. That's the Holy Spirit. Stop. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take that to prayer, and I'll get you the answer. So again, she hurt my heart when she said it because it was kind of an attack of my belief, but I didn't chastise her. 2 days later, I'm talking to her husband, and he says, oh, by the way, my wife wants to talk to you. And he puts her on the phone. She said, David, I want to apologize because what happened? The Holy Spirit convicted her. Mm-hmm. She hurt me, mm-hmm. And she knew it. She said, that was wrong. If that's what you choose to do to, you know, experience the Lord or get close to the Lord, that's your choice, and I had no right demeaning that, and I apologize. Beautiful.
Wow.
And I said, oh, and by the way, the Holy Spirit gave me the answer because I took it to prayer. So bring your Bible the next time we get together, and I'll read it from the Bible.
Yeah.
She said, oh, okay, that'd be great. So we go out to dinner with them, and she didn't have her Bible. I said, do you mind? I have the answer to your question. And she said, no, I'd love to hear it. Her husband was like, yeah, tell her. I said, so let me read it to you right out of the Bible. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, as a Catholic, I would have never gone to this verse.
And I just want to highlight the way that you started that conversation, it's key. You're asking for
permission
yep. to enter into that conversation.
Yep.
There's a difference between that heart posture, yep. that attitude, and saying, hey, you know what? Let me tell you some facts here.
Yep. So here's what he did. God took me to the scripture verse. It was like, there it is. And here's the scripture verse. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And I said to her, you see, that's what Catholics do at every Mass and every church all over the world every day. We proclaim and thank the Lord for the gift of his very life, for the salvation opportunity of our souls. And she went, well, we do communion, but we don't do it every day. And I said, well, for me, I want to remember what the Lord did and thank him every day. And I said, it can go deeper if you'd like to hear. And she did. And so I went to chapter 6 in John's Gospel, verse 54, and shared with her those readings also. Till we were done that evening, went out in the parking lot, and she was like a little girl who had just gone to an incredible lesson at school. She said, I feel like I was at church. She said, I learned so much. I didn't know any of this. So ladies and gentlemen, here's what I learned through that. Number one, don't make it your agenda. Don't try and give your theological whatever. Stop and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit to reveal to you biblically the truth and beauty of our faith, and let it in the Lord's hands, because then he'll use you to open up a heart and start hearing these divisions that exist that should not exist. There is one head, Jesus Christ. There is one body, the church. We're all members that are baptized, Trinitarian, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of the same body of Christ, church teaching. Let's help our brothers and sisters. As the scripture goes, Peter get in the boat and Jesus get in with him, and the boat went out, and Jesus says, put the net out into the deep. And Peter caught a great haul, which represents all of humanity. There was no schisms, no tear in the net. And then what did Peter do? Caught out his friends in the other boat to help him bring the net ashore. Ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be a healing in the one body of Christ. So let's call out to our brothers and sisters in Christ, help us bring the net ashore. Because guess what? The gospel message of Jesus Christ is for the world. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom and the words that are non-threatening, but invitations in love.
That's so good. And that reminds me of the scripture that says, maintain the unity of the Spirit. It doesn't say create unity. He's the creator. He's asking us to maintain the unity with brothers and sisters in Christ. So just, again, not trying to put the Holy Spirit's shoes on and do what he's called to do, do what we're called to do. And another way of looking at it is the same Spirit that lives in you is the same Spirit that lives in me. It's the same Spirit that lives in our other brothers and sisters. So I think if we take that to the table, so to speak, as a starting ground, it's so much easier to just maintain that unity of the Spirit.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Another piece of the scripture verse is the fact that the cloth, the burial cloths, were left behind. And then the one that covered his face was rolled up and laid to the side. And, you know, as Jewish tradition, at a table, when you get up and you're going to come back to the table, you roll up your napkin and you place it aside of your dish. And so this burial cloth left behind, reflecting on the fact that you can't take anything with you earthly.
Right.
You can't take it. So it's all going to be left behind.
Yep.
But the rolled up covering of his face was for a purpose. It let the Jewish audience know, guess what? He'll be back. Right. He'll be back. And right. So for me, that understanding that, number one, I can't take anything with me. Mm-hmm. What we have here on earth is a gift that we're to use to help others. So how do we do that every day? And then Jesus is saying, guess what? I'm coming back. Be prepared, for I may come for you tomorrow.
Right.
So keep your lamps full.
Yep.
And be prepared.
Yep. And stay awake.
Stay awake.
Yeah. Another part that's worth noting here, when Mary came back and she's talking to Peter and John, there's not a couple sentences in here that say they sat around and grumbled and gossiped and added to the story. And right away, they went out and they came to the tomb. It was like, don't waste our time and energy and focus on a possible distraction. I don't know what we're going to find, but we need to go verify this. We need to go see for ourselves. We need to look into this further. So be careful. Don't waste time and energy, because that can rob and steal your joy, your hope, to spend time on, oh, wow, she said somebody took him. Oh, man, somebody took him. Now what are we going to do? How are we going to answer this? What are we going to do with that? No, they said, okay, we need to go out. We need to see the tomb. We need to see what you saw. And we don't know what the next step is going to be, but we're not going to waste our time on grumbling and gossiping.
You know, and that's such a key point, Cameron, because another incident that happened with me last week, I took six of our friends, there were six of us, went pheasant hunting. It was awesome. We had a blast, no pun intended. And two of my friends are big-time LCBC, big-time on-fire evangelical Christians, and we went out to lunch afterwards. And the one man had never got to ask me any questions about my Catholic faith, and the next thing you know, man, it's coming. Here it comes. And so I always say a prayer for the Holy Spirit to give me the words. And as I'm sharing these words and I'm sharing this, he's like, well, I thought this and I thought that and I thought this and I thought that. You see, the beginning of this scripture, if we'd have went by what Mary Magdalene said and spread the rumor that someone took his body and somebody stole it and did this and did that, what did she do? She went to the church. represented by Peter, mm-hmm. Holy Mother Church. We need to hear what we hear. But then, like I shared with these gentlemen, let me tell you what the church teaches. Because this guy was like, well, you guys think you can merit your way into heaven. You can do all kind of good works. I said, well, actually, that's not a Catholic teaching.
Right.
In fact, the catechism is exactly opposite. He said, there's nothing, you cannot work your way into heaven. It's only through the grace of God, through the gift of Jesus Christ.
Yep. And I was going to say, that just reminds me, I mean, that statement in and of itself, it's meant to divide. It's yeah. meant to destruct. So, of course, the enemy wants to spread those things to this group, to that group, to the other group. Any type of division, any type of, oh, yeah, well, they this, well, we that. That is division, and that is the fingerprints of the enemy. He is set out to steal, kill, and destroy. And that means relationships. That means friendships. When we hear those things, that should give you a twang in your spirit, a twang in your heart, and like you started with, like be a Berean, look into it for yourself, talk to the person, have the conversations, do it with humility, do it with kindness, but don't hear something, take up an offense and say, okay, well then this whole category of people, they're this and I'm that. That's where we as the body of Christ need to show more unity.
And here's a perfect example, and I want to go into these waters. So I'm sitting around a table with a whole lot of pastors, a whole lot of evangelical Christians, and some Catholics. And I asked the question, how many people heard that Pope Francis is blessing same-sex marriages? Well, the hands all went up.
Every news media outlet was...
And I said, do you realize that's a lie straight from hell? That's not what he said. Has anybody looked on the Vatican website and read his exact words of what he said? Nobody did. I said, so let me read to you what he said. Let me tell you what he said. And let me tell you what a blessing is. So when we go into confession as a Catholic, you know, we say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Forgiveness is a blessing, not a curse. So if two men or two women come up to a priest outside of the church and said, Father, you know, we've sinned or we're ill in our bodies. Will you bless us? The blessing is the forgiveness of the sins. The blessing is the healing of the body. There are certain things that a priest is able to do because we're all sinners and the priest can't decide which is worse and which is not. And that blessing of forgiveness, that blessing of healing, those prayers outside of the church, it can't be confused with blessing a same-sex union. They can be done. And I'm not Pope Francis, nor do I want to enter in those waters that he did. But if you read what he said in the same paragraph, he's very clear. Marriage is between one man and one woman. It's a sacrament. It has been the church's teaching. It'll always be the church's teaching. It is Jesus's teaching, the biblical teaching, you know, and it's a sacrilege. It's a heresy
right.
to believe otherwise. So, and again, I challenged one of my evangelical friends. I said, look, don't believe me. I said, you go to the Vatican website, you look it up, you read it. And my friend happens to be sitting here with me. And what did you think?
It was eye-opening because it was not the same message I was hearing from all the media, all the news, and even, I think, well-meaning evangelical brothers and sisters and even some Catholic brothers and sisters. Everybody was hanging on to what the media was—
The narrative.
The narrative, yep. It was a couple of sentences of, hey, can you believe they're blessing this? Can you believe they're blessing that? And when you look into it, that's not the word for word. That is actually not what he said. That was not the intention behind it. And when you
read— It was complete opposite.
When you read it for yourself, it's like, whoa, how on earth are they getting away with spinning this narrative? And that, again, is the fingerprints of the enemy. He wants to twist. He wants to pervert.
And divide the church.
And divide, yeah.
Yep. And so Cameron's not Catholic, but yet Cameron comes on this radio show because the beauty of Cameron's heart in his biblical knowledge is unbelievable. And if Cameron knows, if he ever goes outside of Catholic teaching, I'll nudge him and say, well,
yeah.
Here's where we're at.
Yep.
But it's beautiful. But again, in that situation, I helped Cameron.
Yeah.
And now Cameron—
Oh, I love it. Those
he's
doors.
Been able to help other pastors.
Oh, yeah.
And the other day, I'm with a deacon in the Catholic Church,
yeah.
And the deacon says to me, oh, what, Pope Francis? Well, hey, will you? I said, you know what? I have no problem with what he said. I said, did you read what he said? Well, no, but I know what he said. I said, really?
Right.
Did you read it?
Right.
Well, I didn't. I said, no, did you read it? Did you research it? Or Did you do a Mary Magdalene and not do a Mary Magdalene and go and tell your story of what you thought?
Yes.
He said,
yep.
I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen.
That's amazing.
Gossip. Read Proverbs. Google it. Read Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
If you pass false information along, it's gossip, and it is not healthy,
yeah.
And you need to confess it.
Yep.
It's wrong.
Yep. Yep. So key. And the other beauty to this, it's so cool to me how the Bible puts details in here. This is like specifics. It's the first day of the week. It's the stone in the tomb. It's all the different pieces to it. It's they were running there, not walking. It paints the picture, and one of the things I love doing with scripture, you read something like this, reflect on it for a few minutes. Like, let the Lord give you that imagery, give you that picture, and it's not just a detail, bullets, boom, 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 boom. It's a story. There's people in this. It's an actual event. It's an actual day in history that took place.